I invite you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew 5, verse 31. A word before we commence. We're going to be talking about divorce, and it is a difficult topic. I ask for your grace, but at the same time, I ask that you be praying for my tone, that I would be loving and gracious in preaching what God has before us. I don't want to be like a preacher that leaves the point or our position right to the end, so I'm going to divulge it immediately. Read and then pray. We hold to the position here in Providence Reformed that it is permissible to ask for divorce or to initiate a divorce, with the exception that Jesus gives here, with the exception being divorce is permissible under the condition of sexual immorality. We also believe in abandonment, but today we're just going to be looking at sexual immorality, and it is therefore, with a valid divorce, permissible to remarry. There you go. You don't have to hang out all the way to the end and to hear anything that we say. However, having said that, I pray that you would hear God's tone of grace and mercy. If it does not come across that way, it is because the preacher has the tone wrong, and you need to approach me afterwards and talk to me about that. I do aim to not dilute what Jesus has said, but nor to condemn anyone to hell when there is mercy and grace available in the name of Jesus. So allow me to read his two verses, which can be quite shocking at first. Please don't despair when you read here Jesus first give out his teaching, but let us, with God's grace and the Holy Spirit, understand as we move forward. Jesus says in Matthew 5:31, this is his word, "It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." The word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. A sobering word for us. Let us pray. Father, I ask that your greatness will be magnified and seen through your Son, Jesus' difficult teaching from you. Who can handle these things? Who can take them on board? So if it pleases you, Jesus, and if we are pleasing before your sight, allow your Spirit to bring illumination through mercy and grace to us sinners, Lord, that you have made into saints. Spirit, please bring us more of Christ and transform us from one degree of glory to another, that we may be the very kingdom of heaven here on earth. But let us see, Father, how you are so merciful and gracious. The marriage is a metaphor for the marriage of Christ and his beloved bride, the church. And so to you, Lord, marriage is so important as that symbol, as that metaphor of an unbreakable bond. And you do say, what you have joined together, let no man separate. Oh, let us see, Jesus, what you mean through your word. Help us now. Your servants are now listening, so please speak, Jesus, and let it be to your glory, I pray. Amen. In 1992, Bill Clinton coined a phrase that he hoped that it would unite the various abortion supporters within the Democratic Party, and maybe he also thought he would win some Republican voters as well. He said, "Abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Safe so that the woman would not be endangered, and legal so that the woman would be protected by the law without prejudice." And he also mentioned that it should be rare. It was supposed to be so uncommon, so unheard of, that you may have never, you may never hear of it happening. Abortion then went on to become so safe and so easy, legally speaking, it has become anything but rare. In fact, it's so common, it has become a form of birth control. But it's the heart of man, isn't it? To grab a law and to stretch it so far to suit ourselves that law then becomes unrecognizable, no longer useful for its intention. The world knows the heart of man, and it makes these truisms, these maxims, that these general truths about humanity. We say, give them an inch and they'll take a mile. And so it was also with divorce within the community of God. Such is the hardness of the heart of man that God designed marriage as the coalescing of two people to unite one man and one woman, joined by God, cleaved, glued together. Marriage was and is supposed to be a union joined by God, inseparable till death do us part. But man's hardness of heart was that he and we sought more than one woman, more than one wife. And so a law was introduced by Moses, not a commandment, but a concession due to the hardness of the heart of man. Divorce among the people of God was permitted, and it was not designed by God, but it was to regulate the sin of man. It was supposed to be safe, so the divorced woman wouldn't be condemned to live in isolation for all her life. And it was supposed also to be legal, so the divorced woman, she wouldn't be penalized and then could remarry. It was supposed to be rare, so the people of God wouldn't be known as those who break up marriages. It was supposed to be that rare. Divorce was supposed to be safe, legal, and rare. In fact, that is Jesus' view. However, by the time of Jesus, it was so safe and so easy, and legally speaking, it was so easy, it was anything but rare. It was very, very common. And here Jesus is addressing the very issue of the common and invalid divorce. So hear now the word of God. Jesus says in Matthew 5:31, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Look, to say that this is an easy passage to preach is a lie. To say that, and also to say that there is much discussion and all evangelicalism has arrived at a consensus or hasn't arrived at a consensus is an understatement. There is so much here that there is currently a debate about. But what is clear in these two short verses is that Jesus is not revoking divorce. But Jesus is clarifying its stipulation of what constitutes a valid divorce. Do you see it there in verse 32? I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. You've got to notice carefully that Jesus doesn't revoke the permission of divorce when it would have been a perfect opportunity for him to do it with his current line of argumentation and teaching. Jesus had been teaching, as you probably have heard in the several sermons before this, he started off with his formula of, you have heard that it was said, do not murder, but I say to you, anyone that is angry with their brother is liable to judgment. You see, he says, you have heard it said, and then a corrective or an addition or an interpretation. He then went on to say, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery, but I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery. Therefore, if Jesus is or was revoking the act of divorce, Jesus would have said something along the lines, or you would have expected him, I believe, you would have heard Jesus say something like, you know, you've heard it said before that you may divorce your wives, but I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife commits adultery. Stop it. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus doesn't revoke the act of divorce. He's teaching his disciples how to stop its misuse. You see, when Jesus begins with verse 31, it was also said, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. This is a reference to an Old Testament passage of the Bible that was supposed to be a restraint and a regulation on divorce. Deuteronomy 24, it prohibited divorcing a wife, letting her remarry, but then demanding her back. That's what it was supposed to regulate. It was supposed to safeguard against easy divorce. But the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' time, they grabbed that law and then they stretched it. They kept stretching this law to suit themselves. They emphasized the safety of the law. They even came up with these loose and absurd legal reasons of why it's okay to divorce, until the point that divorce could be initiated for practically anything. The certificate of divorce was then no longer useful for its intention, and divorce became a safe, legal, and easy way to find a new wife, you see. And what happened from that is that the woman suffered for it. For instance, in the Mishnah is a book of all the recorded sayings of the previous rabbis that then became the teachings of the law. So in the Jewish custom, they would read this book to work out how to apply the law. In the law of the Mishnah, it says in the various groups, it says the house of Shammai. So Rabbi Shammai would come up with a saying and he would say something, they'll follow him, or another rabbi and they'll follow him. So it says in the Mishnah, the house of Shammai say, a man should divorce his wife only because he has found grounds for it in unchastity, adultery, since it is said, because he has found in her indecency in anything, Deuteronomy 24. So they reference Deuteronomy and they said, this guy is saying only adultery, unchastity. But then as the years progressed, the next guy came along and said, and the house of Hillel say, even if she spoiled his dish, since it is said, because he has found in her indecency in anything. Then comes along Akiba saying, even if he found someone else prettier than she, since it is said in Deuteronomy 24:1, and it shall be if she find no favor in his eyes. Can you see how the law started in a certain way and then it started being stretched? The rabbis were all using the same text of Deuteronomy 24. Divorce started being permitted for just only unchastity, adultery, and then stretch. So that even if your wife spoils your food, if she burns the toast, or she overcooks your steak, or if your wife has lost her attractiveness, and then you see another one prettier, slender, younger, they're saying that's grounds for divorce. You see what the scribes and the Pharisees are doing is that they're not stretching a man-made law. The scribes and the Pharisees are starting to relax the law of God's creation for man and woman. God has said what God has joined together, let no man separate. And Jesus is reigning in that loose view of marriage. The scribes and the Pharisees made divorce so safe and legally part of the culture, it wasn't rare, it was just common thing. It's just what we did. The Jews had relaxed the creation law of God for marriage. So Jesus is addressing the valid reasons for divorce, and he gives only one exception here. He says, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's what it was said. You could just give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual or on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. See, Jesus is restoring the ancient sense of divorce. He says that the exception for divorce is porneia. It's where we get the word pornography from. It's fornication. It's not just adultery, but sexual immorality, which is sexual relations or sexual conduct outside of the marriage, or any perverse sexual conduct. Could have been incest or bestiality, promiscuity, anything prohibited by God in His law. When conducted outside the marriage covenant, he said, that is sexual immorality. And the reason why that was permissible is, you see, that sexual conduct is what consummates a marriage. And any sexual union outside of that covenant breaks the oath. It breaks the vow of marriage and therefore dissolves that marriage covenant. So Jesus says, without a valid divorce, the husband, look at that, the husband will make his wife commit adultery. Did you read that? Verse 32, I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. So if you divorce your wife for any reason, except for sexual immorality, then it is an invalid divorce. Then if you send your wife away with an invalid divorce, like for anyone of those reasons, if she didn't commit any sexual immorality, but you know, she burnt your toast, or you found someone prettier, younger, or you say to yourself, I've fallen out of love with her, and then she remarries, while holding that invalid divorce, Jesus says the husband makes her commit adultery. I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. See, the husband is at fault, making her commit adultery, but also then the wife sins. She commits adultery because the divorce is invalid. She is still technically married when she remarries. Without a valid divorce, you are still married to each other, and any other union then becomes adultery. Do you see that? So the issue at hand here is also about remarriage, because the certificate of divorce was for the woman. So the woman would be free and could remarry. But Jesus is addressing, well, then how is it valid that she can remarry? See, the Jewish law, once again looking at the Mishnah, is what was practiced in Jesus' time. It says this on how to write out this certificate. Listen to what it says. The text of the written of divorce, this is word for word, so it may sound a bit robotic. The text of the written word of divorce is as follows. Lo, you are permitted to any man. Our Judah says in Aramaic, let this be from me, your writ of divorce, letter of dismissal, and deed of liberation, that you may marry anyone you want. Let the text of writ of emancipation is as follows. Lo, you are a free girl. Lo, you are your own possession. The certificate, you see, was so the woman could be free to marriage. That was the current culture of the time. Jesus is addressing these Jewish people that already understood this. The certificate of divorce was to give her an ability to be disassociated with the current husband and then go and remarry. But she isn't free if the divorce is invalid, you see. In fact, she wouldn't be free at all. So it's up to the man here to do what is right, because the man was responsible for writing the certificate of divorce. And that reason being because the wife at the time was prohibited for her to chase a divorce. The Mishnah, once again, for a woman goes forth willingly or unwillingly, but a man puts his wife away only willingly. You know what it says? Well, that means? It means, well, the wife can be divorced whether she likes it or not. The man always does the divorcing. So the relationship between husband and wife was one-sided. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, they had enforced these teachings of the rabbis who began stretching God's laws to suit themselves. And in the process, the men were treating their wives like commodities. They're just trading them in at a will, you see. In fact, the Mishnah, again, I'm quoting quite a lot of it, but so you can get the context of what we're at, says this about the actual certificate. All the same are writs, all the same are certificates, all the same are writs of divorce for women and the writs of emancipation of slaves. See what it's trying to say? So it's the same certificate of divorce is the same certificate to set slaves free. The positive for the woman here, if you can find a positive, is that that the marriage breakup is being equated to emancipation. Like a certificate of divorce enacted the same privileges that one would feel like when they were a freed slave, free to live without obligation to another. See, divorce was supposed to emphasize the liberation aspect, the freedom released from obligation. But the scribes and the Pharisees, you know what they emphasized? Ownership. The negative then for the woman is that she became oppressed in her marriage relationship. See, because the marriage started being treated by the very men themselves the same as a slave. A slave to her husband. Jesus is therefore directing his attention at the man to be careful how he treats his wife and his marriage. Jesus is warning the men not to treat their wives like commodities. Men, that's our warning. Don't treat them as though you own her like a slave. And then you can have the ability to trade her in like a slave. God gave us a warning through his prophet Malachi. I want to read you in two different translations so you can get the gist of how powerful God is. In Malachi 2:16, I very rarely quote the New Living Translation, but I think it's got it right. Listen what God says about divorce. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Let me read you the NIV, because I think even the NIV gets very close as well, but it says in a different way. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord of God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard, men. And do not be unfaithful. You see what I'm trying to point us to, and I think Jesus is doing that. If God hates divorce, and divorce according to God is to treat the woman, the wife, with cruelty, to do violence to God's daughter, God then cautions the man, be on your guard. Guard your heart. He says, do not be unfaithful to her. So you see, a certificate of divorce was supposed to absolve the wife from her duties and her responsibilities to the husband who filed for divorce. It was supposed to the restriction of 24 of Deuteronomy 24. It was supposed to diminish divorce, like to suppress it, not to increase it. And in the rare occasion, divorce was supposed to provide safe passage to liberate the wife from the demands of her ex-husband. See, the certificate of divorce also permitted then, as the understanding of the Mishnah says, it was to permit the woman to remarry. However, Jesus is saying, without a valid certificate, the new husband that was to marry the divorced woman could not verify that he wasn't about to commit adultery. So the certificate of divorce that Jesus is speaking about cleared the woman from her obligation to one man and created a safe and legal way to remarry. But the certificate of divorce was started to be given not for any reason at all. It was supposed to be done for one reason: sexual immorality. And so Jesus is now saying, you cannot divorce for any old reason. Jesus says it should not be so. It should be rare under exceptional circumstances, over sexual immorality only. And that can render a valid divorce. You know, later on, as Jesus progressed in his ministry, he will be later questioned by the Pharisees about this. And you can see it come out in Matthew 19, verse 1. The Pharisees came up to Jesus and tested him with this. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? You see, that's what it's about. Is it any cause at all? It's not whether one can get divorced, but what are the valid reasons for divorce? And so then Jesus continues his argument with what seems no exception in the next verse 32. And so whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It's shocking, because if we read it without this context, we think that, well, then anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery, and even a divorced woman cannot remarry. You know, I have heard some say that any man who marries a divorced woman, without exception, commits adultery. They take this verse literally. This would mean that a divorced woman would never be able to marry at all. Even if her first husband died. But those people that take this verse literally then go to another passage of the Bible to show us how they can. But we need to take Jesus within context. I believe that the idea that a divorced woman can never remarry cannot be concluded by the immediate context. You see, Jesus is speaking about a valid divorce as opposed to an invalid divorce. He's speaking to those who understand that the purpose of a certificate of divorce was to free the woman from one marriage and permit her to remarry, to make it safe for her to continue living without obligation to her ex-husband. So Jesus is placing boundaries on the man, not the woman. Do you see that? Jesus is not talking to the woman, he's talking to the man. Yet if we understand Jesus in verse 32 to mean any divorced woman, then a divorced woman, like I said, would never be allowed to marry, but the man would, just not the divorced woman. There's no command against the divorced man there. So in other words, let me run you a scenario. This is what I'm trying to get at. Think about Jesus as he's talking to these people. What are they thinking? So you could have a man that commits adultery, there's sexual immorality, files for divorce because there's sexual immorality, whether it's her or him, there's sexual immorality, breaks up with his first wife, and then marries his mistress. While the innocent wife who's been divorced, well, she can't remarry. But she's done nothing wrong. She's been served a divorce. I think that sounds ludicrous. It's against the gist of what the certificate of divorce was for. It's enslavement to the effects of sin. Now, we need to understand that Jesus in his immediate context without going to any other place. We can go after, but first, what is Jesus saying here? He's speaking about the grounds needed for a valid divorce so his disciples will not commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Within this context, adultery happens without a valid divorce. If you marry a divorced woman without a valid divorce, you will commit adultery, is what Jesus means. But if you send your wife without a valid divorce and she remarries, without a valid divorce and she remarries, she commits adultery because she's still married to you without holding a valid divorce. If a woman leaves her husband without a valid divorce and you marry her, you commit adultery. Can you see that if there's no valid divorce, when you send out a wife, you're still technically married. So whoever marries her commits adultery. She commits adultery with the one she married. Then you commit adultery with whoever you're with. And then that person that is with you, that there's a four-way stream there. That's why it's important for the valid divorce. Jesus says it a little bit clearer a bit later on. He says in Matthew 19:9, see how he says it there? I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. See, he joined it better there. Can you see what Jesus is getting at, though? It's not necessarily about marriage. It's about what he was just talking about. Can you see what he alludes to? Maybe you haven't thought about it as deeply yet, but you could if you really want to think about divorce. He's alluding to, if I see another man's wife and covet her and I give her the eye, and then she sees me looking at her with lustful intent, and she responds to the invitation. If I tempt someone else's wife to leave her husband and come to me, Jesus says, you don't even have to commit any action with that look, with that giving of the eye to that woman, with that intention, lustful intent in your heart, you have already committed adultery. And if you think you can incite another man's wife, Jesus is saying, because you desire her, and you try and justify it by saying, well, I just fell out of love with my wife. My wife is annoying. She doesn't cook very well. And this other woman, well, look at her. She looks prettier than my wife. But I haven't slept with her. So then you divorce your wife. And you justify by saying, I just don't love her anymore. And that other woman says the same. Jesus says, when you marry that new wife without a valid divorce, you both commit adultery. Can you see? And then you make your first wife, the innocent one, sin, because she also commits adultery. No one has a valid divorce. You see, divorce was never an option for marriage. It was never an option for us. Jesus will be interrogated very soon by the Pharisees. And Jesus there shows how divorce was introduced by man. It permitted by God. It's tolerated by God. But God did not bring it in. It's tolerated by God like in the concession for the hardness of heart. That's what Jesus would say in Matthew 19:7. The Pharisees say to Jesus, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? And he, Jesus, said to them, because of your hardness of heart. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Can you see that the obstinate and the arrogant man will always look to circumvent the law of God? And so divorce, even to this day and age, has become so widespread because it's the world's refusal to accept God's view of marriage. And it's due to the hardness of everyone in this world. Everyone who is hard of heart and against God and His law, sin within man and his insatiable desire for more, humanity that covets, has led to many broken marriages in the church and outside the church. So Moses imposed a law. Divorce had to be regulated because of the sin of the world, sin that separates what God has joined. So God tolerates it, but God hates it. And there's so many reasons why he hates it. Because it breaks up the loving bond between God's people. But you know what also it is? It's the arrogance of the sinful man in the church and out. The man that says in his own marriage, God must have made a mistake. I need to correct God. Jesus says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Now listen out what Jesus says. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. If there's any law, any guideline regarding divorce, let us begin with God's cosmic law of creation. One man with one woman equals one flesh. Not one man and one man, or one woman with one woman. Two men with one woman, it is one man with one woman equals one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man separate. And then divorce comes. It's the arrogance of our sinful nature to say to God, you got it wrong. Let me break what you joined together. That's why he hates it. And Jesus, in our text, grounds divorce on sexual immorality as a provision of safe and legal response to sin, but it's also a show of grace and mercy. Because in the Old Testament, adultery, the penalty for adultery was to be stoned to death. And now Jesus is bringing grace to the penalty of sin. However, it was supposed to be safe, legal, and rare. And humanity has made it safe, legal, and all too common. And Jesus is now setting the record straight. Divorce was permitted, it was tolerated, but it was supposed to be rare, uncommon. And you know why? It's because the breaking of the marriage covenant, especially with God's people, that's us, was also symbolic of the unfaithfulness to God. You see, God, in the Old Testament, God, he shows us how he thinks of us. He looked upon Israel, the people of God, like his wife. And every time Israel left God to worship idols and the gods of this world, the Lord saw that as apostasy, that idolatry is equal to adultery. As Israel left the worship of Yahweh, it was like the wife of God. Israel left God to marry other men, to sleep with other lovers, to give herself to other idols, to the gods of this world. So when God's people left the Lord and married herself to other so-called gods of this world, to idols, the Bible is shocking in what it says. Jeremiah 3:6 says this, God speaking, have you seen what she did? The faithless one, Israel, how she went up on every hill and under every green tree and there played the whore. And I thought after she has done all this, she will return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. She saw that for all the adulteries of that faithless one Israel, I had sent her away with a decree of divorce. So God gives Israel a certificate of divorce. Her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she too went on and played the whore. See what God is saying, and it shocks us, our sensibilities. He says Israel behaved like a whore, like a prostitute. So then what God does, he sends her away. But in his sending away, he's still begging her to come back to him. But she wouldn't. The idolatry of the people was the breaking of the covenant with God, like adultery breaks the covenant of marriage, you see. So God then breaks his covenant with the people who abandoned the love they once had for God. And those who rejected God and his covenant, like rejecting a marriage, God left them. Because they preferred other idols, other gods, another husband. They made their bed with the world. So God sends them away with a decree of divorce. You see, God doesn't make a law of divorce. He tolerates it. But hear what God desires. Listen to your loving God. Verse 7 of Jeremiah. And I thought, after she has done all this, she will return to me. So God gives them up to their own desires, to our own treachery, to our own adultery with the world, our own idolatry. But God also intends for our prodigal son wanderings to bring us to our senses and to come back to him. We must be careful how we treat those divorced in the church, beloved. Be careful how you treat them. They may have sinned. And you may have committed adultery, but God is a God of mercy and grace. He calls his elect and stands a long way off and is looking. Even though it may be like we are in a far country, Even if we squander everything that our Heavenly Father has given us, even though we may have engaged in reckless living, to all those who return to Him in repentance, who confess their sins, who beg for God's grace and forgiveness, God will still extend His mercy and grace and restore us into the house of His Father, our Father. It is for this reason that although we agree divorce is safe for the woman and the man, legal as far as the law of the world is concerned, Christians believe that divorce must be rare, especially within our community. Divorce must never be the first option. We have learned that God hates divorce. Yet Jesus permits it under a rare exception. And we must be always, like our Father with divorce, ready to receive with grace and mercy. Nevertheless, some are adamant that Jesus prohibits the remarriage of a divorced woman. I don't see it here. However, I will exhort, depending on the circumstances that divorce may come to our lives, we must live with the heart of God. God may have given a decree of divorce to His unfaithful wife, but He was forever positioned to accept her back. And so should we. We need to be prepared in every circumstance to accept any adulterous wife or man. We must show the same mercy and grace to anyone that is divorced, but also to make it safe, to understand it's legal, but to make it very rare. Because the metaphor of an unbreakable marriage is the unbreakable marriage of God in Jesus with the church, with you, with us, with Providence. How many of us were adulterous in the eyes of God? Did not Jesus love you while you loved someone else, another idol, another God? How many of us married the Lord Jesus and then left Him, even for a short period of time, to have an affair with the gods of this world? Then in your repentance, did not Jesus welcome you back as an unfaithful wife? How many of you are currently living an adulterous life? As God says, playing the whore, loving the idols, the gods of this world, rather than loving the only true God of gods. Then in repentance, God opens His arms so that anyone that asks for forgiveness in faith in the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus will extend His mercy and grace, and Jesus will accept all adulterers and makes them His wife. This is why to Jesus, divorce must be safe, legal, sure, but almost unheard of. And so may be with us, beloved. For Providence, He's sometimes adulterous wife. Let me pray. I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Your word because it brings hope and joy. Because no matter how hard I try, oh Lord, I have had many an affair with idols of the world. And You, standing far off, even though You've given me a decree of divorce, have hoped for my return. And then when we have come to our senses, You have welcomed us back into Your house. We thank You for that. To Your greater glory, Jesus, I pray. Amen.